folks, Bob Main here. Welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show. Episode 123, to be exact. It is a sunny December the 21st, 2010 day in North Texas. I am actually coming to you here from the road while I'm in my vehicle, as I often do. Folks, this, if you're new to my show, I live in Dallas-Fort Worth in North Texas, but I've got a lot of listeners from all over the place, even other countries. Welcome to a practical show. I don't get involved in a lot of tin foil hat type thinking. None of that stuff. I just keep it practical, rooted in common sense, talking about doing what you can with what you have wherever you are. And so, since Christmas is almost upon us, I guess I'd like to just kind of put a Christmas flavor and sort of a Christmas warning and give you some things to think about. I know when I say Christmas warning, you know, Christmas is supposed to be a festive time of the year. And I'll get into that. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. So I'll get into that, and I'm going to let you hear from some other people as well in this show. A couple of announcements I want to knock out real quick. Just make this real fast. The website is todayssurvival.com. The forum, if you're not a member of our forum, ladies and gentlemen, join our forum. Now, I know some of you listen to this show, and it's all you do is just listen, and that's okay. I appreciate you very much as a listener. It's been over 300,000 downloads since this show started a little over a year ago. So, you know, thank you. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't for you folks that are tuning in. But if you want to learn some more, if you want to get expanded information on some of the topics that I talk about on this show, our forum is a great place to do that. Just go to todayssurvival.com and click the forum button. It'll get you where you need to go. It'll give you all the sign-up instructions and everything. All right? So I want to talk about plans. A lot of you are making Christmas plans. And that's okay. We're going to be getting together with family. We're going to be doing some survival things over Christmas. Hopefully, we're going to renew some family relationships or strengthen some family relationships. You guys know I'm a big believer in networking, whether it's family, friends, business acquaintances, whatever. Building your survival network is so important. And I talk about that a lot. As you get together this Christmas season, there's going to be some stress involved as well. And I take an approach on survival as basically more of a preventative approach. I don't like to wait till something happens. I like to try to prevent things from happening, or at least mitigate the amount of damage it's going to do to me and my family if something happens. Would you agree with me on that? Do you think that's a good philosophy? I'd like to hear what you have to say. Get on our forum and let me know. But I think that people don't fail to plan. People don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. That's the what I meant to say. You know, and so if you don't have that plan, and you're going to hear from somebody that's going to talk about some survival plans, as we make our Christmas plans, let's talk about gift giving first. Survival and preparation supplies make good gift giving. You know, it does two things. First of all, it says that you're thinking about the person. It says that you care about them. It gives them something that's useful, and it plants that survival seed. A lot of people email me, and they say, "Hey, Bob, I like your program. It's full of a lot of good practical info, but how do I spread the word?" I'm frustrated because people think that I'm some kind of a nutcase, that I'm into preparedness and survival. And that's common. A lot of people do think that you're on the fringe because you're a preparedness person. Let me reassure you, first of all, you're not a fringe dweller. If you're into preparedness, you're a common sense dweller. You're not a fringe dweller. But people often think so. What better time during the Christmas season to spread your message about being prepared? See, being prepared now, in case something happens to you, you're prepared now and you can respond better. Or having the supplies and the know-how and the skills that you can respond quickly and put together what you need to put together if a disaster happens, and how to do it after the fact. But during the Christmas season, what better way to spread preparedness than by giving preparedness gifts for Christmas? I'll give you an example. Several years ago, before I really started giving preparedness the serious attention that it deserves. You see, folks, I grew up this way. I grew up being a preparedness, self-reliant kind of a person. My parents raised me that way because we lived out in the country and we had a little bit of land, 13 and a half acres. It wasn't that much. But you know what? We could grow and raise a lot of the food that we needed to sustain ourselves. Not everything. We weren't completely self-sufficient, but we were a lot more self-sufficient than the average suburban dweller. This was back in the 70s when I was growing up. So where I'm going with all this is I fell away. I got away from that preparedness lifestyle for several years. Well, while I had fallen away, I got a Christmas gift. I think this was about 6 or 7 years ago from my uncle. And it was a portable air compressor. It was an air compressor that ran off the DC power supply in my vehicle. All I had to do was just plug it into the power supply in my vehicle, and voila, I could inflate tires. And I got to tell you, folks, I feel really bad about it today, but I kind of passed that off. I thought my uncle cheaped out on me. And he gave me some kind of a gift I would never use, and just kind of one of those, it seemed like he gave me a gift just so he could give me one and give me something and didn't want to spend a lot of money on it. Let me tell you, that little portable air compressor saved my butt more than once, and it turned out to be one of the most useful, practical survival gifts anybody had ever given me. It was really hot one day here in North Texas, about 104 degrees. I was out making business calls. And I must have run over a nail or something, or I must have done something that I ran over with one of my tires. And, of course, after I get out of a business appointment, I got a flat tire in the parking lot. Now, it's hotter than you know what outside. And I'm in my business clothes, and the last thing I want to do is change my tire. I can if I need to. And folks, you need to know how to learn to change a tire. I mean, that may sound basic. You know, I'm almost ashamed saying that you need to learn how to change a tire. But you'd be amazed how many people cannot adequately change out their tire. I just didn't want to. I had the whole back of my SUV at that time full of a bunch of crap. And, I wasn't driving an SUV. I was actually driving a car at that time. And I had the whole trunk full of a bunch of junk, and I just didn't feel like it. So I whipped out the portable air compressor, and I was able to inflate the tire and keep it inflated long enough so that I could actually drive it. I got out my my iPhone, and I was able to look up the nearest tire repair place, which was about 3.5 miles or so. And I just inflated the tire. And it got me the 3.5 miles I needed to get to until I could get the tire repaired. But that little incident right there, it just made life easier for me at that point. Okay? It was 104 degrees. I didn't need to get all sweaty. I'm in my business clothes. I didn't have to unpack my trunk to get to the spare tire, to get to everything that I had, the tools available to me. And I was so stupid at that time, folks, I wasn't even carrying an emergency bag in my vehicle. Of course, now I've got that same portable air compressor my uncle gave me several years ago. Plus, I've got at least, I call it a 48-hour emergency kit. I've got that in my vehicle. I have food, water, And the tools and everything necessary, and ways to keep warm and ways to keep cool and so forth. Right now, since it's wintertime, ways to keep warm for quite some time in the survival kit that I now pack in the back of my Honda Accord that I'm driving right now. And folks, you know, if you do it wisely, I'm able to get a couple of days worth of supplies in a large range bag. I have an old shooting bag that I don't use anymore, a large one. That I used to put my guns and ammo and all my shooting supplies in. And I switched to a different bag, and so I turned my old range bag into a vehicle survival kit. And I've got one actually in my car and one in my wife's car. So those are the kinds of things, the little gifts. Maybe there's a gift idea that you can think of if you know somebody that doesn't have much in the way of preparedness. Things like that. You know, battery chargers, air compressors, candles, light sticks, things like that. Practical use items, you might want to think about giving those if you haven't already. Now, I know, you know, some of you might not be a procrastinator like me. As soon as I get done doing this podcast, I'm hitting the store to go do some more shopping. Here it is, December 21st. My Christmas shopping isn't done yet. I've always procrastinated on that every year. Don't know why. If you're on a limited budget, consider making some gifts for some people. I'll tell you one inexpensive gift that you can do. You can go to our forum, for example, or you can any ebook that's on survival, and you can print a lot of good ideas on survival for your favorite person, and you can go and buy a cheap $3 binder, and you can start a survival binder for them. See, and that's kind of innocuous. That doesn't really look too radical. You know, maybe put some tabs in it and put some different sections in it and say, you know, this is what you do if you have to evacuate, and put that tab there. And then maybe, you know, put another tab that says important papers in there, or important documents or ID documents, things like that. You might want to put some cooking instructions in another tab, you know, how to cook with, if you don't have any way to fire up your stove, alternative cooking methods. There's all kinds of things you can print out for people. You know, I'm a big believer in having everything electronically and in print anyway. So get him to start a survival binder by you giving it to him for Christmas. That's inexpensive. That can't cost much. A little bit of printer paper and the cost of a binder. Things like that encourage people to make plans. And I guess what I would say is, if you're gift giving for other survivalists or people that you want to turn on to preparedness, think about giving them things that's going to make them start thinking about plans. Because Christmas plans and just general survival plans is the theme of this show. That's the overriding message that I want to communicate here. I'm a big believer in having plans, and backup plans for my backup plans. You know, plans A, B, and C. You just don't know, folks. And that has saved my butt on more than one occasion, even financially. Having financial plans and then backup to your financial plans and backup to the backup. I mean, you never know. When it comes to money, you never know when something can go wrong. So I'm a huge believer in an emergency fund. In fact, I've got a couple different types of an emergency fund. I have a cash emergency fund and an asset emergency fund. I have assets that I can liquidate pretty quickly. I won't get into a whole lot of detail. A lot of people use gold and silver for that, or they'll use jewelry and things like that that they'll invest in. You know, those are what I call an asset backup plan. You can also have cash financial backup plans to where you've got the cash available. As we all know, though, because of our government, our wonderful government we have here in the United States, I say that sarcastically, that's spending us into bankruptcy. A lot of people are really a little nervous and apprehensive about what the dollar is going to do and the value of our money and the whole value of our U.S. financial system is crumbling. I don't want to get too tinfoil hat-ish on you. But let's face it, everybody knows pretty much, unless you've been an ostrich with your head in the sand, everybody pretty much knows that the American financial system is not on real good solid ground right now. So I can understand why you don't want to have all of your emergency fund in cash. But good old cold hard cash, it's always a good idea to have a decent supply of that ready to go. So encourage people to make plans this Christmas. When you're having the Christmas feast, when you're opening gifts, when you're spending some time together this Christmas season and into the New Year season, take every opportunity when you're kind of in a friendly atmosphere like that, take every opportunity you can to talk about what you've been doing to prep this year. Okay, how it's helped you. Success stories. If you can come up with a success story as to how your prepping has helped you this year. That's huge. And that could go a long way into spreading the word. Now, I want to talk a little bit about stress, and then you're going to hear some recordings from some other people on this show. Christmas also brings some stress. And I think it's important that you try to limit your activity with other people or other activities that could cause you a lot of stress during the holidays. A lot of you might be traveling by car. And I would just say, try to pick times when there's not a lot of traffic on the road. An increase of traffic during the holidays also typically increases a lot of drunks on the road as well. And I would sure hate to hear a story. I just hate it every Christmas when I hear about, you know, needless, stupid accidents by people who are driving intoxicated during the holiday season. It seems like 4th of July, Christmas, and Thanksgiving, you know, brings out a lot of people on the road that really shouldn't be out on the road after they've been partying too much. If you pick a time where the traffic is not very heavy, obviously, think about that. I mean, this sounds practical, but it's true. You're exposing yourself to the fewest amount of other crazy clowns that are on the road. And that will help bring down your stress level. It really chaps me. I really get frustrated when I hear about people doing stupid things. You know, just idiotic, dumbass things, sort of, I guess. Pardon my French. You know, and they get themselves severely hurt or they get themselves killed during the holidays because they just weren't paying attention. Keep your situational awareness up. The holidays brings out bad people sometimes. And again, I'm not trying to cast a negative shadow on the holidays, but it does. It brings out, seems to bring out more thieves, seems to bring out more crooks. There's more people that are looking to break into vehicles because they know people are carrying around presents and things that they just got done buying when they went shopping. There seems to be a lot more assaults and so forth. You know, the holidays, for a lot of people whose lives are all screwed up, the holidays makes it more stressful. And unfortunately, sometimes desperate people do desperate things. So keep your situational awareness at an all-time high. All right, be in condition orange or whatever it is, the next step to being in condition red. I don't even have that whole TSA scale memorized, but I think you know what I mean. For those of you that do carry weapons and carry them legally, carry them during the holidays. Just try when you're out on the road, folks, to just be more aware of what's going on. A lot of us are on vacation during the holidays. It's very tempting to relax. It's very tempting to let your guard down, you know, and some people are thinking, oh, man, you know, all year it's been intense. Here it is, the end of the year. I got a little bit of vacation time. I've taken some time off. I'm just going to, you know, kick back. And people tend sometimes to get a little too careless. That's all I'm saying. Is don't let the holidays make you more careless. If you're going to party, that's okay, party, but just party sensibly and be careful out there. Keep your situational awareness high. One of the reasons I think you need to pay attention to a lot of preparedness during the holidays is think about it too. Outside of a natural disaster, there's a large-scale natural disaster, there's a pretty good chance that local authorities can help you out of minor disasters. But think about it. During the holidays, the local authorities seem to be less available. They have families, too. They're on vacation. Some of the rescue authorities might be understaffed during the holidays. That's why it's more important that you be prepared. Take the responsibility upon yourself. Pack a little extra in the vehicle. If you're traveling by car, pack a few extra supplies. See, the holidays are one of the worst times to be stranded. And the fact that I grew up in Wisconsin, I can remember a lot of times being stranded during the wintertime in blizzards up there, unprepared. So for you, my friends, that are listening to this show from colder climates, here it's about 71 degrees in Dallas-Fort Worth today. But for those, so I don't have to worry too much about being stranded in a blizzard. But for those of you who are in the colder climates, and if that's you, then let me urge that you prepare yourself and pack a few extra things in your vehicles. If it's wintertime, pack some extra blankets, pack some extra clothing, some extra ways to keep warm in case your vehicle breaks down. Okay, common sense, things like that. So I think I've made my point to open the show here as far as making plans, and Christmas time is a good time to do that. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to play a quick 15 or 20 second musical break here, and then at the other side of the break, I'm going to just play you a news report. This will kind of shock you. It's amazing how many people don't prepare. And this came off the news recently, so you go ahead and listen to this, and it'll give you an idea of how people just don't prepare in their lives. And then I'll be back on with another audio segment for you. So here you go. Quick break, music, and then listen to this report.
It's snowstorm leaves more than 300 people stranded. On the highway in southern Ontario, the highway is shut down indefinitely and under a state of emergency. We're told the Canadian military has brought in search and rescue helicopters to help drivers. Brandon Junkin joins me now to tell us what he is seeing. First of all, Brandon, how long have you been trapped and how are you holding up?
I've just got out about 20 minutes ago to an hour, 20 minutes to half hour ago we were pulled out. But up to that point, we've been over 24 hours stuck in the same spot, just off the main highway. They've gotten us off the 402 highway that was closed, and then they put us on a side highway. Unfortunately, the snow continued all night, and by around midnight last night, you could no longer open the doors in your car because the snow had gotten so deep.
Hey, Brandon, I'm wondering if you had anticipated this when you started your journey and if you had a kit of necessary supplies in the vehicle with you.
I didn't anticipate. I anticipated bad weather. I was told bad weather was going to be in the area, but I was driving a fairly large pickup truck with 4x4, and I just figured I'd take my time and go through it. And by the time I had planned to get to that area, it would have been rush hour, so I was anticipating lots of salt to be down and kind of drivers going slow anyway. When I got there, it was just like there was nobody there, and everything was ice, and it had gotten bad. I didn't actually pack a lot. I had a blanket with me in the back anyway, but I didn't have anything packed that I should have. I had a quarter tank of fuel, and it just wasn't good. By the time I got stopped and realized I was in trouble, that there was nothing we could do, by midnight I had to shut my truck off and actually just sit there and wait. And I was showing minus 10 to 12 Celsius inside the truck, so it was getting really cold by midnight. So,
how nervous making were those hours? The hours from the point that you actually had to shut the vehicle off until you could get some relief.
It wasn't until you really felt almost despair. It wasn't until about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Because they kept saying on the radio, the local radio, that their car's stuck on 402, which is the main highway. But they never made mention that we were on another highway beside 402. So you almost felt despair because you couldn't see more than 2 feet in front of you. And my concern was, did they even know we were out here or that we were sitting here? Because there was talk about blankets and food being brought to cars, and we hadn't seen anybody. Nobody had come to us. And with no fuel left, I mean, I was freezing. It wasn't until 7:30 in the morning. The snow was still coming down, and the wind was really, really strong, but we could hear what sounded like helicopters. And when I opened my window, I kind of crawled out because I couldn't open my door, and I looked up. There was a helicopter hovering right over top, and at that point I realized that for sure they knew we were there, and they were going to definitely be sending help.
Hey, Brandon, Chad Myers is with us as well. He's been helping us sort of orient the viewers as to where you are, where all of this is taking place, and I'm sure he's got some thoughts for you as well and some questions.
Major lake effect event here. You were probably driving along and didn't have much snow, and then all of a sudden you drove into a whiteout. What was that like?
Correct. It was literally a full-on whiteout. I'm an avid outdoors. I like being outdoors and in the wintertime as well, but I've never been in something like that. You're driving along, and it was okay. Like, I mean, the driving was snowy, but then it got so bad that you couldn't actually see the road even below you. If you were to look out your window and look down, you could no longer see the road at all. And at that point, I basically just kind of slowed down to a... I didn't want to stop quickly. I was afraid vehicles behind me might hit me because they just mentioned Detroit, not that Lara... or Niagara area and Michigan having all the same issues, so I didn't want to get into that. So I basically slowed down quickly, and it was just like a white wall, and you can talk about it, but I've heard people say things like that before, but it wasn't until I was actually there. It was just literally a white wall. You couldn't see anything.
Brandon, you were concerned that
for 24 hours.
Yeah, you were concerned that you weren't on 402. You weren't on the parkway there, and you weren't being seen, or did you not have a cell phone, no service, or what?
I had a cell phone, but I had called and just let them know that we were here, and they said that there's just too many people out right now and that there's too much going on and that it would be at least 12 hours until they could get to us. But on the radio stations and all the local media, when you're turning it on, like I was turning on my satellite radio and even local radio stations, all they were mentioning was Highway 402, Highway 402. But meanwhile, you just felt, you know, almost disheartened because the police had turned you around 12 hours earlier, sent you off the highway into the middle of the country, in the middle of nowhere, and said, sit here. And now you're sitting there, and it's just whiteout. And it's one thing to be in a whiteout. I've been in a whiteout before where it's like, you know, a 10-second gust of wind that came over, but this continued for 12 and 14 hours.
So you were basically, you could get disoriented if you left your truck. Basically, staying in your truck, from what I can hear, saved your life.
100%. Like, literally, it was about, I would say, 6:30 in the morning. I debated at one point getting out of the truck and walking because I thought I could see Christmas lights from a house, and I was debating, do I walk to it? But when I tried to open my door and realized the snow was now 4 feet, 5 feet against the side of my truck, I just realized there's no way I'm going to make it. So I just sat there. But you couldn't tell where you were at all. As it turns out, once they dug me out here about an hour ago there, when they dug us out, I only had to drive about half a mile up the road, and I was at a restaurant, gas station, everything was right here, and this is where everybody's been sitting.
Were there other people around you?
Yeah, there was about 10 cars behind me, and all the rest were big transport trucks all lined up in front of me, but you could only see, at best, maybe one car. Like, that was at best. If the wind stopped for a minute, like, I was only 5 feet behind the transport truck that was in front of me, and I didn't realize, it wasn't until morning, he'd actually jackknifed in that position, and his cab was spun around, but I never saw him until, I couldn't actually see it until morning, even though he had the rig on all night. With the lights on, I couldn't actually see the front of it.
Brandon, you are one lucky young man. You and whoever your traveling companion was, you guys have been, you were really lucky.
Well, would you say those are people that weren't thinking, just didn't have any plans? It's pretty obvious. There's not much else I can add to that. I think that whole segment there was pretty self-explanatory. So next, a member of our forum, he goes by the handle Ghost Rider, Chris Harper. He's been on here interviewing with me before. He's given some really good advice on first aid. He's been on this show as an expert talking about first aid skills. I've had him on twice on this show, and he's been a big contributor, one of the moderators on our forum as well. He recently did an excellent video, and for those of you who do frequent the forum, perhaps you've watched this video, but for those of you, this is mainly for those of you who are not on the forum much. Here's the audio portion of that video, and I'll put a good link in the show notes under todayssurvival.com, the podcast show notes. If you look at the podcast that I post on the main site, there's always links and notes to everything that I talk about on every show. You can actually watch Chris's video by clicking the link that I put on there. Now, before I play this, it's really good on making survival plans. He's got some very good common sense stuff to say. Before I play this, I want to stress this. The sales of my CD and digital download lately have been going very well. And as you know, I did kind of a combination self-defense, shooting, and survival CD. And it came out the 15th. Some of you didn't want a CD, so I also created an MP3 digital download, make it real easy for you to just download it straight to your computer or MP3 player. If you consider the fact that this show gives you some value and gives you some practical ideas, this is not my full-time job. I don't ever intend it to be my full-time job. But I do like to pay some bills once in a while. So if you'd like to support the show, for $15, you can get some very, very good practical self-defense, survival, preparedness information. Stuff I've never covered on this show. I'm not just repeating everything I've covered before. There's some extra stuff on there and some good interviews with some people. So that's only $15. You can go to todayssurvival.com, click the Buy Now button, any credit card. Try not to use credit if you can, folks. I'm not a big believer in credit. I don't like debt. So if you have to go in debt, I don't want your money. Don't send me don't invest in it unless you can pay cash for it. But if you can, it'll help support the show, and you'll get an email from me with instructions on how to download it, or I'll mail you a CD. All right. That's all I want to say about that. I don't want this show to be too commercial, so I just keep that short and sweet. Here you go. Here's Chris Harper, also known as Ghost Rider from the forum, talking about your survival preparations and plans.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another part in the series of Disaster Preparedness Series. In this video, we're going to talk about the disaster plan, your family disaster plan, what to put in your plan, how to create your plan, and whatnot. Basically, when you talk about disaster plans, they come in two forms, is what you see most, two styles. And you have a disaster specific plan, and then you have what's called a needs-based plan. Your disaster specific plan is just what it means. It's how do you prepare for a specific disaster, such as a tornado, a pandemic, a hurricane. Each individual disaster has its own response procedures and response plans in it. And then you have a needs-based plan, which is basically how you're going to preserve your life functions and so forth. I use kind of a combination of both personally. I'm not saying that one's better than the other. It's your personal preference. I use a combination of both and can kind of combine an all hazards approach to my plans. Big thing you want to do is keep your plan simple. Now, I've seen some plans that have just drawn out. I mean, just massive plans. I'm talking hundreds of pages. Now, granted, most of these plans are for businesses, but I've seen some family plans that are just numerous pages, lots and lots of pages. Do this, do that, do this. In an emergency or in a disaster, your stress level is going to be way up here. Everybody's is. It's just what's going to happen. And in my personal opinion, you don't have the time to go flipping through. Okay, it's a tornado. I got to find tornado. Okay, flip the tornado. What am I going to do? Let's do this, and this for the tornado. You're not going to have time to do that. Is your wife going to want to do that? Or your spouse? Or what about your child? Can your child go in and flip through the plan? So you got to make it simple. Keep it simple as you can. That's why I kind of use a combination of both. Now, for the disaster-specific plans, they usually start out with what's called a threat assessment. Now, a threat assessment is basically you go through and you pick out the threats that you are most likely to see in your area, or the most likely things that you want to put in your plan, you want to plan for, such as a tornado, such as a pandemic, a hurricane, snow, wildfires, etc., etc. And then through a series of other things, looking up the probabilities of how those occur and a series of calculations, you figure out your risk and how likely you are to be affected by that particular incident, and that's how you're going to prepare for it. Now, for example, snow and ice is a big thing down here that I need to kind of be prepared for. We don't get a whole lot of snow in the south, but the ice we do. That's going to affect me a lot, because that's one of those things that we just don't prepare for a lot. Anyway, as an example. So anyway, what you need to do is think about those things. We'll talk about disaster specific plans in another video, because what I'm going to have to do is I'll have to show you how it's done in order for you to fully understand it, because there's a chart that you have to do. There's other procedures, and like I said, through a series of calculations, you can figure it out. It's not hard, but I want to be able to show you instead of just sit here and tell you. I want to show you as I'm telling you. So that's going to be in another video. I'll just do that now. I'll tell you that. All right. That's disaster-specific plans. Let's talk about your needs-based plan, which, like I said, I like to combine a combination of both plans. Your needs-based plan needs to accomplish several things. It needs to accomplish things like, how are you going to protect your family? Where are you going to meet? How are you going to provide your food, your shelter, stuff like that? How are you going to stay informed? And what happens? Other things you need to put in your plan. Where is your family going to meet? What about just a local, just your house is on fire? Everybody get out of the house. Where are you going to meet? You need to have a plan for that. Step up from there. You can't get into your neighborhood or your particular area. Where are you going to meet then? and then another location. Where are you going to meet if you can't meet there? Always have at least three different locations that you can meet. One immediately outside your house, the next one immediately into the vicinity, and then the next one may be a bug out location or somewhere else. What are you going to do if you can't come home? Do your vehicles have bags in them that you're prepared with? Another thing you need to think about. Do you have maps of your area? Do you have at least three different locations you can go to and at least three different routes to get to each of those locations? Does your wife know how to get to all those locations? Do you know how to get to all those locations? Do you have maps? You need to have the maps. You need to draw it out on the maps. Know the choke points. And what I mean by a choke point is there a particular intersection around your area, a traffic intersection that gets really busy during certain times of the day? I've noticed that a lot recently around my area. It's starting to get more built up out in the suburbs and where I live, and there's several areas that didn't used to be choke points that now are choke points. Other things you need to put in your plan or in your binder. Now what I do, I'm kind of get off track just a hair. What I do is I put everything in a red binder. This way, this is the emergency binder. Everything's in here. Stuff, the plan itself. Other things like important documents. You need to have copies of your marriage licenses, your social security cards, immunization records, insurance plans, credit cards, all that stuff. You need to have copies of all that stuff in your kit or in your plan, and also on a thumb drive or something, if you put it on a thumb drive and have it with you, and have it in a location to where it's not going to get damaged or it's not going to get lost. Other things you can do that you need to do. Inventory your possessions. Go through with a video camera or just a still camera. Inventory what you have. That's going to come in handy when it comes to filing an insurance claim. So go through your house with a video camera if you got one. Take pictures of everything or like I said, still camera. Take pictures. Video it. Your serial numbers are important. Sales receipts. All that stuff is important, especially for your high dollar items, your big TVs, your computers, your stuff like that. Well, that put all that in your plan. Other things to put in your plan, list of contacts, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. You need to have relatives or friends in your area that you can contact in the event of an emergency to at least tell everybody, hey, I'm okay, we're going here. Also, you need to have somebody out of state. That's a big thing. Like I said before, disasters aren't always wide-scale disasters. It can happen locally just to your area, and your state may not be affected, but you may have to go a couple of counties over, or you may have to go out of state if it gets to be a statewide. So you need to call and be able to contact somebody out of state to know that, let them know that you're okay. There's all kind of other media things you can use nowadays, Facebook, Twitter, stuff like that. A lot of people use that sort of thing for communicating. That's excellent ways to communicate. Have that in your plan to know that, okay, if an incident occurs, we need to get on Facebook, we need to put this on there, we need to call this person. That all goes into your plan. Other things that need to go in your plan. What are you going to do about your pets? Do you have pets? What about special needs individuals? Do you have somebody in your household that has special needs? Elderly, what are you going to do about them? That needs to go in your plan. You need to work on that and have that in there. Talk about communication a little bit. Again, a lot of times, or it has been in the past, if cell phone towers go down, texting, you can usually text. That's been a case in previous incidences because from what I'm told, I'm not a big communications guru, but from what I'm told, texting is on a separate tower or something. Like I said, I'm not a big communications guy, so somebody out there that knows a lot more than I do about that, feel free to chime in. But that's what I've been told. So we got your evacuation plan covered. And talking, know about when you put in your evacuation plan, what about bridges that are prone to flooding over those routes that you need to travel? Think about that. We already talked about the choke points. What about your kids' school? If you have kids, an incident occurs, Does your kid's school have a plan? Most of the time they do. But are you going to be able to get your kid out of that school if an incident happens? I know with my kid's school, every year they send, at the beginning of the year, we fill out a form that says, in the event of inclement weather or an emergency, how will your child be picked up? Or are they going to ride the bus home? Are you going to come pick them up? So on and so forth. Know your school plan. Because the last thing you want to do, if you have kids, is to be separated from those kids knowing that you're not there. Because that is your ultimate goal, as whether you're the father and the head of the household, whether you're the mother and you're the head of the household, whatever the case may be, it is your ultimate goal to make sure that your family is protected at all times. And you have to know where those people are. I think that's one of the things that kind of scares me the most, is knowing that an incident can occur and I may not be able to get to my family. Because if you can get to your family and everybody's together and you know everybody's safe, then you can go from there. A couple of little quick things to put in your plans. What about utility shutoffs? Do you have gas or in your house? Electric? Of course, most everybody's got electricity, right? What about water? Does everybody know in your household know how to shut off those things? Does people know where the panel box is? Shut off the power. What about the main water disconnect to the house? Gas. You need to know how to shut off those utilities. Put that in your plan. And some of the other things is keep your vehicle fueled at all times. I know it's kind of hard. I'm guilty of this all the time, not keeping my vehicle at least half full all the time. Most of us are. Keep your vehicle full. I said, put all that stuff in your, type it all up, put it all in a binder, keep it all together, keep it to where everybody knows where it is, and everybody can look at it at all times, and everybody can have it. Practice, practice, practice with your plan. I can't stress that enough. Cut your power off one night, and go through your plans for a power outage, and see how your family reacts. Stuff like that. Because the last thing you want is an incident to occur, and you've got all this stuff wrote down and documented and how it's supposed to be, but nobody knows but you. Everybody in your family has to be involved in it, and I know that's hard. That's been the hardest thing for me, to get my family on board. The kids are on board, sure, fine, but sometimes spouses can be a problem. They're not really a problem, but sometimes they can be. They need to be coerced and helped along a little bit. So I know this video has kind of ran a little long, but I'm trying to keep these videos short as I can, but give you the information that you need to prepare. So this has been the video on your plan. Another video, we're going to talk about some other things. Now, like I said before, I'm not the end-all expert on this. So if you have other suggestions, please feel free to chime in, leave a comment, PM me, or whatnot, and we'll go from there. Until next time, y'all take care, and I appreciate your views and your comments.
Okay, good stuff there, huh? Very well said. Very well put. Thanks, Chris. Excellent video. Check out his video channel, too. I'm going to link to that. He's got some real good ideas on there. This is a big, this show is a big conduit, folks. It's like a big sharing experience here. And I like this to be a listener-based show. So if some of you have material that you've already recorded or you'd like to record, or by the way, if you want to come on this show for an interview, I use Skype. If you use Skype, we can do it Skype to Skype. If not, I can call you up on a telephone and record that, and we can talk about, survival ideas and so forth. So let me go ahead and extend that invitation to all of you who are listening to this show. So let me close by saying, also use this Christmas season as a time of reflection. Because a lot of us are taking time off and so forth. I don't know about you, but I've found that it's real easy to just do some reflection on the whole year and what's transpired. Because after Christmas, then we're looking forward to the new year. And we celebrate that holiday too. And a lot of people, make New Year's resolutions, and then by about the fourth day of February, they break them. Excuse me, fourth day of January. Long before the fourth day of February. I think I read it somewhere where most New Year's resolutions don't last a week. That's what I meant to say. Most New Year's resolutions don't even last a week. So do some reflecting this year and set some realistic goals. I would say, your Christmas goals and your New Year's goals, since I might not put out a show next week because I'm going to take some time to do some reflection and I'm going to take a little time off from this show and my other show as well, I'm going to do some reflecting, and I'm going to set some new goals, and new goals not only for this program, but for myself and my family for next year. I would encourage you to do that too, but make them realistic. See, the problem is one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions, I think, don't last a week. I think sometimes people make them too unrealistic. And sometimes they bite off more than they can chew, and that's me sometimes. I get too ambitious, and I bite off more than I can chew, little by little, baby steps. That's how you get places. So if you have some areas of your preparations, you know, maybe your food storage is not built up enough, or maybe your water storage is not built up enough, or maybe there's a certain skill you want to learn, and you just haven't learned it, and you want to set a New Year's resolution to go get that skill 90 days into the first of the year, just make it reasonable. Make sure that it's something that you can achieve, you can afford, and carve out the time to do it. That'll save a lot of frustration. Write them down, too. I really believe goals need to be in writing, even survival goals. I keep my survival goals in two different places. I keep them on a thumb drive, and I also keep them on my iPhone. So I have them electronically. Oh, I'm sorry, a third place. It's also in my survival binder. And I update that about every 3 or 4 months, my survival goals. And I go back and I check and see what did I accomplish, what did I not accomplish. And my non-accomplishments, I roll them over into new goals. Okay? But I also keep them on my iPhone and I keep them on a flash drive so I can access them and look at them pretty quickly if I need to. And it makes it easy. I use the notes function on my iPhone to add things, so whenever I come up with a new idea or a new goal or something like that, I throw it on the notes function. And then I synchronize that. So there's all kinds of ways that you can store them, but put them down in writing. The reason I say put them in writing is it becomes a contract with yourself. And since this whole show is about plans, Christmas plans, survival plans, you know, making plans, since that's what the whole show is about, why not make a contract with yourself? I think writing down a goal, that's what that is. I think it's just, I don't know about you, but I think there's more of a commitment to a goal when you write it down. You don't have to get out a pencil and paper and write it down. You know, this is the computer age. This is the electronic age. So you can make an electronic note of your goals. That's fine. That's still a commitment. You know, I had one listener call me in one time, and he says that he emails them to himself. That's fine. He also has an accountability partner. It's a network partner, a survival network partner that's his accountability person. And he emails his survival goals to his accountability partner. Hey, how cool is that? That's cool. If you got somebody in your life that you can do that with and call them your accountability partner and email things back and forth, ideas and how you're doing, that's great. I mean, I think that's excellent. So you might want to set something up like that, and as you're doing some reflection during the Christmas and New Year's holidays, maybe you might, if you don't have a survival partner, maybe you might want to think about setting one up. If you want to use me as your accountability partner, you can do that. We can set up a private board for people that want to do accountability. I can do that on the forum if you want. I can only give certain users access to that thread. That might be a way to do it so that not everybody can view it. Or we can set up an email system or whatever. That's fine. If you want to use it, use me. Or if you don't feel confident, you don't know me well enough, I'm just a guy on a microphone talking about survival skills that lives down in Texas, you don't know too much about me, that's okay. If you've got somebody in your life you can do that with, I think that's another really good idea, and it's a way to help keep you on track. That's the thing, is because we sometimes get off track on our plans, and I've always found it useful to have somebody else to nudge me along and keep me on track. So I think that's a good stopping point. And I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, a great Happy New Year, prosperous New Year. Let's not be too negative about the future. You know, don't turn on the news, folks, during the holidays. The news is all negative. There's a lot more good stuff going on in the world. I like to take a positive attitude towards things. I don't know what I would do sometimes without my positive attitude. I really don't. I mean, I get negative. Those of you who know me personally, you know I get negative. One of my buddies called me yesterday and says, "How you doing?" I said, "Oh, crappy. Just I was having a rotten day yesterday. Terrible day. I just couldn't get anything to work right in my business." It's one of those days. So I'm down too. But eventually I come back when I have a down period. I come back to my attitude. You know, Cody Lundeen says it best, that survival is 90% psychological, and I 100% agree with him. So try not to turn on the news. Try not to engage in too many negative activities during this Christmas season if you can help it. And I think that's a good way for me to close the show. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Have a good and prosperous one. Take some time to reflect. Enjoy your family. I hope that Santa is good to you. I hope he brings you a lot of good survival and preparedness stuff. And folks, thanks a lot for another great year of this show. 2010 was a good year for this show, and I have you to thank for that, so thank you very much. My name is Bob Main. You've just listened to episode 123 of today's Survival Show, where it's my goal to help you harness the power of choice, to live life the way you want to live it, to do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Merry Christmas, everybody, and I'll catch you right after the first one.